Good morning. How are we doing this morning? It's great to see all your smiley faces, happiness. I feel so insecure standing up here this morning. There's such a weightiness of God's presence and His prophetic mantle this morning. It's funny that I even said afterwards this morning that I don't have a sermon for you this morning that's line upon line, precept upon precept, like I normally would preach. I feel like this is a prophetic sermon for you this morning, a prophetic voice to help us, to encourage us, to challenge us, step out of our comfort zones. I mean, if you just hear again, not to reiterate again, but I'm say again, you hear the words that came this morning, everyone is important. Said the voice of God through an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, we believe here that it doesn't matter what age you are, if God speaks to you, we want to hear it.
Yes.
And so we don't clap and applaud because, oh, isn't he cute? No, sometimes he's cute. Ask his parents. Sometimes not so cute. But when God speaks through an 8-year-old, it could be through an 18-year-old, a 28-year-old, a 38, and an 88-year-old. We want to hear what God is saying. God not only wants to deliver you from a whole bunch of stuff, He wants to deliver you from mindsets. He wants to help us to extend the kingdom of God. If you're in the prayer meeting, you will go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. He wants to mature us and increase us. He wants to take us beyond where we could ever imagine or think for ourselves. He wants to put us in uncomfortable positions like I am this morning. Good, yes. Three coats. Too tight, too loose. It fits just right, but man, I'm not doing much with it. God wants to change that this morning, that you will do something with it. So we're starting a new series called, as you can read, Your Inheritance. And when we started off this year, if you remember, we stood up here and we said, this is what the pastors, the elders felt of where we wanted to go, an inheritance that God has for us. And I really believe this morning when Kieran Kelly came in this last week, this wasn't just about revival and about healings and salvations and the gospel. It was all of that, but it set a beautiful platform for us to preach of this series, to understand our inheritance and how we all have an inheritance. And I want this to be today, I want it to be more personal, and that's why I'm calling this series Your Inheritance. Because in a family you get to know that when it's Chris's inheritance, it's also Susan's inheritance and his children's inheritance. And so when we have an inheritance, but we also have an individual inheritance that God is calling us to. So today I want to talk about walk in your inheritance. Because we have an inheritance. It's not like, well, maybe. And some of you maybe have never ever had an inheritance, so you don't know what that means. Maybe you are hoping one day that your parents, when they passed on to glory and on to greater things, that they would give you or leave you an inheritance. And they didn't. You got all disappointed. Well, how come Bob down the street got a nice inheritance and he got this nice yacht and this house and this cottage? You've seen that advert on TV. I love it. I can't remember what the advert's for, but I know that it's the father takes his kids out onto this dock in some lake and he hands them keys and he shows them their inheritance. Wonderful, beautiful, jealous. Of course I was. Man, I would love a cottage by the lake like that. But I want to tell you about an inheritance that is greater and way beyond that. So I want to ask a question and I need a response on this today. Don't get shy. Who believes you're in full-time ministry? Put up your hand. Yeah. Okay. Some of you believe that. Who believes you're in full-time ministry? Paid ministry. Put up your hand. Do you believe this? Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Tom. Okay, so you're not so sure. I'm going to help you today, be sure. Because you have a mindset and a thing in you that doesn't help you to think like that. And that's today. We're going to deliver ourselves from that mindset. Turn with me to the book of Romans, please. And then you also need to be in Ephesians, and then you also need to be in Colossians. So let's read together. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Well-read scripture in this house. I appeal to you therefore, brothers. I'm asking you, I'm talking to you, I'm saying to you, brothers, pay attention, and I'm appealing to you in this regard. By the mercies of God. Well, what mercies are we talking about, Mark? Well, I don't have time for that today, but if you go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and read through to chapter 11, verse 36, you will understand the mercies of God. The systematic theology of the righteousness of salvation by grace and not by works alone. Well, alone by grace, not by works at all, actually. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not pay attention to this world. Do not pay attention to the systems of this world. Do not pay attention to the ideology of this world. Do not pay attention to the methodology of this world. Do not be convinced by the things of this world. Do not be conformed of it. But by being metamorphosized, by being transformed by the renewal of your mind, to think differently about this. Why, when I was lost, I thought and I behaved and I lived and I walked and I ate and I breathed and I slept according to the world. But now I am in Christ Jesus. I don't think like that. I don't talk like that. I don't behave like that. I don't speak like that. I don't go there. I am now renewed in my mind. Metanoia. I have a new way of thinking. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Not just perfect for God, perfect for you, perfect for me. The perfect, acceptable will of God, because we live according to His will, and His will is not to, well, let me see if I can test you to see if you're going to pass or fail this one. Because He is a Father who wants to bless us with an inheritance that we can boldly walk into His inheritance. You're allowed to say amen. You're allowed to get excited. You're allowed to jump up and down. You're allowed to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. If you read the book of Ephesians, if you start in chapter 1, I've said this many times, there's a little word in there called in. If you just circle it or underline it or color it in, you'll see how much we have been blessed in Christ Jesus. Verse 11, this is Trinitarian speak. You say, well, Trinity's not in the Bible. Well, here it is. I'll show it to you. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. It's not like wait for something to happen and then you're going to get your inheritance. In Him, in Christ Jesus, because He died for us, because He rose again, He's seated at the right hand of God, because of what He did, because we are His righteousness, because we live and breathe and have everything in Him, we already have an inheritance. And yes, there is one to come, eternally, when we go beyond this life. Having been predestined according to the purpose of Him, Jesus Christ, the Father, who works all things according to the counsel of His will, the Father, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ, the Son, might be to the praise of glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In Him, in Him, in Him, in Him, in the Trinity. You can go with me now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. And so from that day, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. Do you remember we did our little fig tree thing? The barren fig tree, we were meant to bear how many figs you got, how are you producing your fruit, how's your fig doing, how are your figs doing? Well, we are meant to bear fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened. This is a prayer for us. May you be, not just for the Colossian church, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We have been qualified to share with the inheritance. So we have become living sacrifices, be transformed by a renewed mind. In Jesus we have already obtained an inheritance. We are to walk in a worthy manner. In Him we are qualified to share the inheritance. And by now some of you should be getting excited. Just a little. You can pretend I just scored the first goal for the Leafs. Kevin, go to the back seat, Kevin. When we hear life from Scripture, we are allowed to get a little bit excited. We understand that we live in the systematic theology of Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know that. But what we also know and have our mindset set on and living on is that every sin, past, present and future, has been atoned for. By the death and the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ, we have been set free. We live in that space. We rule and reign in that realm with Jesus Christ. We live when Jesus went to the cross and shed His blood for us and He died. And when we had that an external cosmic change in the heavenlies, when heaven invaded earth, when the earthquake shook and opened up, and we had the internal in the temple when the curtain was rent from top to bottom, heaven to earth coming down, opening the way for us to go into the only place where the priest could only go once a year. After he had cleansed himself and hung those little bells on his leg, and they were all happy when they heard the tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. When they didn't hear the tinkle, tinkle, they got, well, what's happening? We should be going, yes! Because now it's opened and we can go in and we can crawl up and sit on His lap and we can go, Abba, Father. Why? Because in Peter 1 Peter 2:9 it says, you are now a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We don't need another priest to go into the Father. We don't need me or any of the pastors, the elders, for you to go to the Father. Somebody's getting excited. I feel like one of those southern Pentecostal preachers. Come on. You can get up. Wave your hanky around. I don't care. There we go. Go, Bridge. You got an app for that. Yes, you do that. The great I am. Open the way. The Father of all fathers. Open the way. Oh. And the problem and the thing that happened then was that this thing called the difference between the clergy and the laity was smashed and broken. The problem is we go, well, I don't know what that means. Okay, I understand law. I understand Moses. I understand the Mosaic law. So we're going to create this thing called clergy and laity. And we're going to see the great I am. I want us to see today for you to walk in your inheritance. See the world as your parish. Yeah. Understand. You are all, we are all in full time paid ministry. Thank you. Who believes they're in full-time paid ministry? The only difference, I derive my income from the church. You derive your income from where you work. Your boss doesn't even know that he's paying you to extend the kingdom of God. We've got to think right. He has you a job description, a resume. You come and do this for us. Meanwhile, you this salt and light, this pillar of salt and light that's walking around in your workplace. I'm bringing light where I am. I'm excited about, we're going to talk some more about that. I'm excited to be here. Lord, show me who needs deliverance today. Lord, show me who is sick. Who can I pray for today? Who needs... You know that most people in this world today, they don't need a full three-piece, three-point sermon. They just need to know that God loves them and that you care and that you love them. Yeah. I'm trying. He's paying you to do more than your usual job description. He's paying you because he thinks you're there for one thing, but if you're kingdom-minded, I'm not being lacking integrity. I'm not thinking going around there and messing up your job, so I'm a Christian. Yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you go there and you be the best employee. You be the best one who works there. You work the best. You don't do the whole coffee thing around or the water thing around the water cooler. You are diligent. You're intelligent. You're integrate in what you're doing. And they go, man, there's something different about that guy or that girl. They say, yeah, no, they're like this thing they call a Christian. Oh, okay. Someone in need of help. You know what? Chris can tell you afterwards. They used to mock him at the fire department because he stood a stand for Jesus Christ. But you know what? When they were in trouble, when things were falling down around them, who was the first guy they came and spoke to and asked, will you, that thing you do, you know, pray for me? Have you got some advice for me? Salt and light. Power of gospel, the gospel. Was there any time that you were never called full time? Just a thought. I want to say to the moms here today, moms, no one, I mean no one. It sounds like, well, Pastor, you're shooting yourself in the foot. I said, no, I'm not. Because I know what I'm called to. I'm happy about what I'm called to. Coming back to moms. Mom, no one is going to pray for you with as much passion, as much love, intercede as much, and with such deep conviction for your children that you will. Some have the idea in their head that, well, we pay and you pray. No. I do pray, of course. I tell you, if you don't know now, the elders gather every Friday morning and we pray for this body of believers. And we, once a month, we pray for the businesses. And the businessmen and women come and we pray. Because we pray for them. Fathers, you have a God-given mandate to pray for your family. You, no one will pray with such intensity for your family and your children the way you will. I'm just being real. Of course, the Bible's very clear. If they're sick amongst you, call for the elders. It's sort of biblical. And you have a burden for your children. You know, I could have said to many people, oh, my brother's wayward, my brother needs Jesus, and that was all true. But I was the one that cried. I was the one that went to my knees. I was the one. When I wasn't serving God, my mother was the one that would be spending time in her bedroom praying for her son, that he would come to know Jesus Christ and serve him wholeheartedly, to fulfill a prophecy that was given to him by an African beggar when I was 2 years old. Do not give up. Do not hand away your inheritance. Do not give away and think, well, these children are mine. I don't know. Pastor, you pray for them. I will diligently pray for them. But no one will do it with the same intensity, the same passion, the same love and fervor as you will. Don't hear what I'm not saying. And you say, but you like, well, let me clarify. The pastors, you guys are like the anointed ones. As Kevin would say, hashtag, lie from the devil. Lies. Because you want to leave, you don't want to walk in your inheritance. Well, if the pastor prays, then there's a special prayer that goes up. No. I remember I was new in the ministry, and a young guy who was a youth pastor in another denomination came to me and says, man, I like you, I like to see what you do. Will you mentor me and train me and help me and teach me? So one day we get the fateful call. There's a demon in our house, we don't know what to do. I'm like, yeah, me too. No, I didn't say that. That's how I felt. Never walked this way before. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to phone Craig. His name is Craig. So I called Craig. I said, Craig, we can go and exorcise a demon out of the family's house. Well, how do you know there's a demon there? I said, I don't know, but the people tell me stories that shouldn't be happening in their house. In the night, books would get moved around. There would be a cold wind blowing through the house, and we look and all the windows are shut. So she tells us, and the kids would not sleep in their bedrooms. And they had these things called wind catchers. Dream catchers in the house. She had one this big on the wall. Now, you've known me by now. I'm not freaky. So I just went and I was like, ooh. Afrikaans, we have a word called, I was thrilled. I don't know how you. There we go, exactly. Chris says just the sound of the word makes him feel like that too. So we go. And when she gives us the key, we go and she says, I don't want to be there when this happens. So I go and I see these things and I look at the books that are being moved around. I say, okay, throw that one, throw that one, throw that one, put that down. We pray. As we're going up the stairs, Craig says to me, geez, Mark, it's cold in here. We're in the middle of summer, by the way, in South Africa. He says, there's a cold wind blowing. So I look for the window because, you know, we're skeptical. Windows are all closed. So we bind and we loyaled their place and the whole thing. And all of a sudden, there was a warmth in the house. The lady, I said, I don't know. I think whatever was there is gone. She comes back. She says, for the first time in 3 years, my little girl slept in their own bedroom. She says, but where are those big things that were on my wall? Where are they gone? I said, oh, they're in the backyard. I threw them out. Why? Not because I was specially anointed or Craig was specially anointed. I was just dumb enough to believe God would hear. Yeah. Well, and I want to encourage you to be dumb enough to believe that God will hear. When you pray, when you call on Him, when you cast down things, when you take authority over things, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who you? Now you should know who I am. This is me talking on your behalf. I am the Son of the living God. I am a child of heaven. I walk in His inheritance. I have an inheritance. I believe in deliverance. I believe that the darkness must move when I come into a place. We've got to walk in our inheritance. And I'm taking way too long. Okay. We have to look beyond these four walls. Please hear what I say over the next 5 minutes. Because this is the kind of word that people say, well, we're under grace now, so we don't have to do anything. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to read our Bibles because we're not under law. We're under grace. No, that's stupid. That's a lie from the devil, which you've just imbibed. I understand that this time, this is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is why I stand up here on a Sunday, while the other guys and ladies stand up here on Sunday. This is what we are supposed to do. We are not all called to do this. You, majority, are called to the marketplace. You, I think someone said it this morning, you will never be more anointed than when you are fulfilling God's call and God's design for your life. Well, we have to have this ministry. No, you don't. I don't have a ministry. I just want you to know that. I don't have a ministry. I'm called to lead this church. I stand under God, because otherwise we'd call this Mark Elwood Ministries International. This is not Mark Elwood Ministries International. This is the Bridge, a collective noun of people gathering together to worship the King, the one who is actually in charge, whose ministry we only have as a ministry of reconciliation. And my job is to make sure that we come here and equip, and we're a coach, and I hand out the oranges and the halftime water dash, and we all go out there together. And we walk in our inheritance, we take our city, we take our workplaces, we take our schools, we give utterance to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel and the extension of the kingdom. Thank you, guys. So this is the kingdom is not the church, and the church is not the kingdom. Too often, there's been a lopsided emphasis on the church. Let's go to church. I don't even like saying that, because let's come to church. That means we're coming to a building, and now we are the church. And I don't know where it is all in my notes, but I know I'm just going to mess up, so I'm just going to flow. And we need to understand, if we understand Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, it says, now through the church, the tool for the task is the church. It's not a parachurch organization. It's not something out there that someone got an idea. You heard me say, some are called, some are sent. Some just took a microphone and went. Why? Because they want a ministry. They've missed the gospel. They've missed this. We meet together on Sundays, Wednesdays, if you come to prayer meeting, life groups, youth, legends, etc., etc. We worship, we pray, we read God's word, we prophesy, we give words of knowledge. The net result is that you feel satisfied. I've done something spiritual. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm not mocking. Come Monday, I'll go back to my non-kingdom job. I'll go back to my non-kingdom Monday, my non-kingdom week, my non-kingdom life. And I don't, when I get there and I do my task and I do what I do and I do everything I do and I go home and I feel insignificant. Why? Because you're not walking in your inheritance. You're not living kingdom-minded. Walk in your inheritance, advance the kingdom. Everywhere you go, we preach this so many times, by now this should be your mantra. The Holy Spirit is with me. Wherever I go, Holy Spirit goes with me. Wherever I go, I'm a child of the King. You don't become a child of the King when you walk in here at whatever time you do on a Sunday, or when you get to life group, or Wednesday night prayer meeting. You're a child of the King 24/7, 24 hours a day. When you're sleeping, when you're waking, when you're acting, when you're not, whatever you're doing, you're a child of the King. Every priest has been gifted with a skill set and an ability. Listen to what the 8-year-old said. That's why we did this Discovering Your Gift Wednesday night thing. And those of you who came along should be, well, I know what I'm meant to do and how I'm supposed to do this now. Some of you should be getting a little bit excited by now. Some of you might go, this means I might have some responsibility in this thing. Yeah, because I'm going to tell you now is the greatest responsibility that you will ever, ever be entrusted with. Some of you believe me. Our ecclesiology is never, ever meant to eclipse our eschatology. Having said that, which means alternatively said, the doctrine of the church is never meant to eclipse your understanding of the kingdom. The kingdom has to always be greater. It always has to be the one, the thing. The highest calling you have in this world is to fulfill the calling God has given you, the place where He has placed you, the destiny He has given you. Now, I just want to say it straight up so there's no confusion what I'm saying today. I just want to say to you that some of you are not called to be pastors, elders, deacons, leaders in the church. You would be useless at it. Because He has something greater for you. Standing here doing what I do is not more important than what you do. When it becomes stranger, is when you live in the mindset, well, I'm going to go to work and I just really don't want to work and I hate being at my work and I don't know what to do here. And then someone says, any Christians here? And you go, well, no, it's just I'm going to go and have a cup of coffee. Someone's sick. Oh, shame. Take two Tylenol and go to bed. Anyone got a cough? Well, I don't want that germs on me. The gathering of this church, as far as Bridge is concerned, the bridge, is to encounter God, to engage people, to equip the saints, to empower leadership. Oh, well, I'm not a leadership in the church. That's not what I said. I said empower leadership. Doesn't matter who you are here, what station you hold, you are a leader in some facet. To equip leadership to extend the kingdom of God. Every facet has life abundantly and is vital for the kingdom. Some of you have walked into a minefield of philosophies. I don't want or need church. We are just kingdom and it's just me and God and nobody else. That's great sounding philosophy. I'm just going to say it straight. That's bad, 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 bad Bible. We were never built that way. We were never meant to. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He talks about how he's building his church. Scripture teaches us what the structure of the church looks like. He always has a man for the plan, Old Testament and New Testament. He always has people set in place to gather and to do his plan. Unfortunately, you know, we're a family and family gets messy. And when it gets messy, then people get in a huff and they leave. And now that nobody understands me. I'm just going to start my own ministry. It's the worst time you could ever do that when you hurt. When you're unfulfilled in Christ Jesus. I know if I asked you, put up your hand, who's been hurt by leadership in the church? Probably all of you, more of you would put your hands up than I believe I'm in full-time ministry. So ask the pastors, how many of the pastors have been hurt by the congregation? Don't put your hand up, no. Because this is family. But it's always, the pastor hurt me. And you know what? Some pastors need a slap upside the head. I agree. Yeah. Because they have said and done stupid things. But then I've also heard of how some congregation have said when someone here said to their people watching how the pastor was cleaning the toilets. And they said, well, I'll do that for you. And the other congregation said, no, 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 just leave it because we want the pastors to stay humble and to know what's happening. Yeah, exactly. True story. Oh, yeah. We don't want holy fire on Sunday alone. We want holy fire Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We want holy fire in our workplace. We want holy fire in our houses. We want holy fire when we walk into the shops. When you go into Loblaws or Independent, whatever it's called. When you go to Walmart, when you go to Canadian Tire, when you go to pick a place, yes, wherever you go. When you go into work, the demons should be standing around the door frame going, oh gee, here he comes. Oh, wow, what are we going to do? Here she is again. I think it's time that we got the idea of Scripture. When we stood up in the morning, and I know you don't have to physically do this, just listen to me. We put on the helmet of salvation. We strap on our breastplate of righteousness. We put on the shoes shod with the gospel of peace, of salvation for the King. We take our belt of truth and we strap it on and gird it on tight. We take up the sword of the Spirit of the Word of God. And we charge into work and say, I'm here. I'm shouting for effect. I'm not shouting at you. And we should go, yes, I'm here this morning. Who wants to fight? Flaming arrows. Whoosh. Yeah. If you were here on Wednesday night, you'd understand what whoosh is. We want to be like the men in Acts 17. They've come and they've turned the city upside down. We won't go wherever we walk in. There's the anointing of God upon us. We don't have to do, oh, what scripture is that? Because we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will say, just say this. We go, because now we're living in the Spirit, we're not living in the flesh. Let me just pay for that thing for you at the till. Let me just pay breakfast for you. Let me just go here and let me just bless you. People are amazed. Try it sometime. You want to make a person cry? Pay for their groceries at the counter. Ah, made them cry. No, that's not the attitude. Joking. Oh, man. When we behave like that, that's how revival starts. You want revival? It's got to start in your heart. It's already in my heart, but I can't do this alone. I am not the man with the power for the hour. We are the people with the power for the hour. Just to coin phrases. We need to understand, with revival, with revival comes reformation. So, coming back to work, because that's where we live mostly. TGIF, just so you clarify before anyone goes, thank goodness it's Friday. Man, I can't wait for Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Oh man, I just can't wait to go home. I've just had a tough day. I've just had a tough week. In my non-kingdom, my non-job, my non-kingdom job, my non-kingdom life here. Oh, I just can't wait to get to church. Then I can be all spiritual. I can prophesy. I can sing songs. I can worship. I can bring words of knowledge. Not that we don't want that stuff, of course. Don't shoot me now. Our cry should be TGIM. Thank goodness it's Monday. I get to go and plunder hell. I get to go and be fulfilled in the job I've got. I need to go and I'm going to take down some enemy. Helmet, breastplate, belt of truth, shoes, sword, shield. Yes! Charge! I know I got hit on the head the other day, but I'm okay. Sorry? Yeah, they found Nemo. They're still looking for my brain. But I'm serious. It's because we think that when we come here, we also, and that's wonderful. But we need to be in workplace, in our home, in our schools, in our colleges. We need to be, Holy Spirit, what do you think? The minute you walk into work, Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm not going in there. It's like the story about, what's the speed limit here? 100 and 100, hey? You see how long I've been here? 100 k's an hour, me and Jesus in the car. 115, 120 k's an hour, Jesus jumps out, and devil jumps in. Let's go. No, we gotta obey the law. Come on, work with me. I don't know how I got there. The problem why we think this way is because Adam was cursed in the garden. His work, the ground that he was to work was cursed, and that's where we have the mensa, we live there. Okay, let's. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Oh, stop. Some of you need to listen more to the voice of your wife and some less. And have eaten of the tree of which I command you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Monday, go to work, tea by the sweat of my face, hard work, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Oh, work so hard. I work so hard. What do you do? I sit at a computer all day. That's not hard work. If you swing a pick or an axe all day, that's hard work. If you pick stuff out the ground, what is it? Reaper. with your hands, that's hard work. If you scrub floors all day, that's hard work. Sitting at a computer, that's not hard work. Anyway, I'll just go on. Romans 5:17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. All curses have already been lifted off of us. Well, that's why we have this mindset and we are conformed to the thinking of this world, TGIF. Everyone says TGIF, can't wait to get away from this whole place that chains me to my desk. I feel like a galley slave chained to my desk, and I come here Monday through Friday and I work and I just can't wait. Thank goodness it's Friday. Now we should be going Fridays. Oh man, I can't wait for Monday. I can't wait for Monday. I know this is a whole new thought, whole new idea. Can't wait for Monday to get there, all dressed up, ready to do battle, ready to fight, ready to take some kingdom, ready to extend the kingdom, ready to take some deliverance. And I'm going to tell you, when you have a mindset like that, it will happen. Don't be afraid. Be bold and courageous. I was dumb enough to believe that my bosses at the time would allow me to have a prayer meeting in the boardroom on between 1 and 2 o'clock. So we did. And he said, you're not going to sing and clap and jump around, are you? I said, no, we'll just pray. First day we get in there, and we're sitting about 5 of us. The presence of God hits the room. 3 of the guys fall off their chairs and lying on the floor. And I'm saying, please do not let the director walk in the office right now. So we pray and we go. And of course, religion was there with us. There's one guy starts to pray, and I'm thinking, geez, another guy come in the room? So I open my eyes to have a look, and there's this guy. Oh, heavenly great Father. I thought, not even in the same voice. I'm like, what was that? She says, that's how I pray. I said, gee, I'm glad you told me. We had amazing times. And then because of that, the one guy comes to me and says, hey, Mark, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He says, when I go home at night, something grabs me by my throat and tries to throw me out the window of my 6-story building. And is trying to kill me. I'm like, never walked this way before. Okay. Let's pray for you. I said, can we lay hands on you? He says, yeah. He was a Hindu guy. He wasn't a Christian. He says, okay. So I get up from around my desk and I go to lay hands on him, and he slips off the chair like a snake and slithers into the corner. And he's lying in the corner saying, they're taking me, they're taking me, they're taking me. I'm like, now I'm like a roaring lion. Helmet, breastplate, belt, I've got it all on. I jump on him and I come out, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. He goes, he says, what was that? I said, I don't know, but it's gone. I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, no. I said, you need to. Led him to the Lord. Found a church for him to get into the church. Who knows? Why? Because we are dumb enough to believe. Faith. Well, I haven't got 4 scriptures for this. I don't know how to say this. I'm not sure how we pray. Come out. Who are you? You don't debate and ask. Because it's going to lie. I'm your best friend from years past. Yeah. Well, just stay there then. Okay, get up. It's my buddy from years past. No. Just in the name of Jesus. Power of the name of Jesus. That's all Bridget could remember to say when she was attacked, when the demon, she felt the demon, she saw it. Screamed, Jesus, gone. There's so much power in His name. If we would believe, if we would have faith, walk in your inheritance that God has given you. Oh, man. We work under a redeemed life. I don't have much. Oh, man. Whew. Our curse, we need to understand, our curses were broken and removed from us by Jesus. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. You can go and read it. All the blessings. Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 68. All the curses. Curses are broken into poverty, sickness, and death. I've said this before. And Jesus hung on the cross. We are just saving time. Deuteronomy 28, 48. He says, He hung there in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. Jesus was completely bereft of everything as He took upon Him the sin of the world. As He hung there between heaven and earth. And then that whole cataclysmic and cosmic event took place that I spoke about earlier. And heaven invaded earth. And the earthquake took place. I'm trying to finish this morning. Where are we? Okay. Galatians 3:10. The righteous shall live by faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. You can do the law. You can run yourself on the, you know, the escalator goes this way and you're trying to run up this way. Never get to the top. But the law is not of faith. Rather, one does them shall live by it. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in, again, Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentile, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Jesus broke it all. He broke the curse of TGIF. The new covenant gives us TGIM. Be what God has called you to be. Go to your workplace and think, this is it. Come to Sunday, I can't wait to worship. I can't wait to, you know, put your iPod, what are those, whatever things, in your heads. Worship on the go. Worship as you're going to work. There's your worship while you're at work. Do you know that singing songs is not just worship? We think it's now worship. Prayer times outside is worship. Inside here, singing songs is worship. Preaching is worship. Reading the scripture is worship. Prophesying, words of knowledge, praying for the sick is worship. It's all worship. When we understand that, then we become free and liberated. Well, you mean when I go to work, I can prophesy? Yeah. It's not meant to just be here. But we store it all up and wait for Sunday. No, we want you to come and we just spend the whole Sunday morning. Testimonies. I prophesied over this person. I had a word of knowledge. I prayed for them. I preached to them. They fell down and they cried. And I saved them. No, Jesus saved them. And that's the person sitting next to me. Now, let's just wait till we get to Sunday. Kingdom purpose in life. Let's just leave that one. Kingdom purposes in life. Four quick ones and we're done. When I say kingdom purpose in life, I mean in your workplace, in your home, whether you're in the arts, the media, the school, the college, if you're a stay-at-home person, your neighbors, your friends around you. That's how we connected, well, that's how Bridget connected, we, you know, the royal we. How Bridget connected mostly, walking the dog, she knew all the dog's names. What's the lady's name? I don't know, it's the blonde lady with Bruno. Okay. But connected, engage people when we're out there. We need to understand that I've only got four, I'm sure there are more, because otherwise we'd be here all day. Personal prosperity. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, so we're clear. We need to understand there is personal prosperity. The lowest level of blessing I can achieve is I go to work, I have a job, so I can earn money, so I can pay the bills, so that I can serve Jesus. That's the lowest level. We don't see even beyond these four walls. We don't see over the wall. Because it's all about me, and if I get the money, then I can do it right. Now I know what I'm talking about, because that's how I used to think. If I work hard and I earn more money, I'll climb the corporate ladder. And when I climb the corporate ladder, I'll have a nice position. I can put on my card, and then I actually can lead my family better because I have a good job. Not having a good job is bad. It's very good. It's nice to climb the corporate ladder. But there is a kingdom value in being prosperous in the workplace. When people want you to help them on the project, when people want you, I have a problem, help me with this problem, whether it's work, whether it's a spiritual thing, whether it's a social thing, whatever, they come to you because they've seen something in you, because you have this TGIM attitude. You know, briefcase in one hand, sword in another, or shield. Walk into work. Devil, I'm here today. What you got to say about that? Was that a cry for help, or was that? We still think we're under the curse. We still think that we actually have a problem going on. I just figured what that is. That's okay. Oh my word. We need to sow in faith. God, here's a novel thought. God wants to bless you in your workplace. God wants to prosper you in your workplace. Don't think that when I'm going to prosper, money, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about prospering you. I've said before, every time, I worked for a fairly crooked company for a period of time, I'm just going to be honest. And every time I discovered something, I had to go, I can't do this because now I'm in charge of it. So then I got to do the walk of shame to the director's office and basically tell him he's a thief and he's stealing the principal's money and this is not for us to keep, it should be for the principal. It's what you've heard me say, what I call career-limiting speeches, and then I'd get kicked out of his office. And then they would tell me to bribe the port officials, and then I'd say, I can't do that. And then my ship worked the best compared to everybody, and they couldn't understand that. And I got favor, and I was blessed, and I want to hold prayer meetings. And then I held an alpha course at lunchtime. I think they just thought, we don't know what to do with these guys, he's a lunatic. But the more I behaved like that, the more promotions I got, the more favor I got, the better I was accepted. And I think they were going, Elwood, how come he got this promotion? He doesn't play the game here. I told him, bribe the officials, and he told me no. You know, anybody know you don't tell the CEO no? Well, dumb enough to believe God would stand before me. He wants to prosper us. Second, we have to live a life of kingdom generosity. Prosper to be a blessing to the gospel. The gospel is free, but it takes the dollars to pop it. And I just want to say to this, to the bridge, Kieran and Kelly were, we were totally outstanding. Is that it? Amazed. Amazed, a better word, yeah. Amazed at your generosity to them. They left and they said, tell the bridge people, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I say thank you. Well done. Kingdom generosity. It's not for their credit. It'll help them, but it'll be to your credit because we understand to sow and reap. And that's not so much how much money you put in, because if you only have X amount, you can only put in. You know, the widow came with one mite. That was all she had. It was everything she had. She put that in. Compared to the rich noble dude who, you know, he has this big bag of money. Wow, look at him. No, he had even bigger bags of money at home. The widow went home and sat at the dark wall because she didn't have oil to light her lamp. It's not in scripture, I'm just poetic license. I'm trying to finish here. The workplace is your parish. Some will never come to church until the church comes to them. You want to do something for the kingdom? Be a pastor in the workplace. Well, no, I have another ministry I want to do. Well, until the bridge, not this bridge, a real bridge, until the bridge is built, they won't come. You can run around work, and 3 years later, true story, girl was ended up dying. A young person came and said, I feel so guilty. I said, why? She said, well, I worked with her for 3 years. I've never, ever shared Jesus with her. And now she's dead. This is not fear-mongering. It's just some reality. When God speaks to you, obey. I think that sort of was part of what we said this morning. Understand that it's not about you. Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Some people are gifted that way. Praise Jesus. How come they're so rich? Because they've been gifted that way. Because they've taken everything they have and they've put it into that. They hopefully are not living TGIF, but TGIM. But they need to take that wealth and use it for the kingdom. Because they just have that gift, that skill set. And we should not go, oh, I wish it was me. I wish it was me sometimes. I was like that song by Bon Jovi, halfway there. Living on a prayer. We had to get halfway there. We had businesses. We were in business. And we lost them. Last one. Part of what we do is reform society. You have the anointing. You have the power. You have Jesus. You have Holy Spirit. You have the sphere of influence to reform your workplace, your home, your school, your library, wherever you might be. Walk in your inheritance. Where we see the new Monday coming, tomorrow morning, Monday, I hope you all get up. I can't wait to get to work today. Lord, Holy Spirit, give me some dragon's head to cut off today. I trust some of you don't have a boss from hell. I trust even more that you're not the boss from hell. Caleb and Joshua, they saw it differently. The grapes were this big. Well, no, we were like ants in their eyes, said the other people. We were just like small. They were so big. They had a TGIF mentality. Joshua and Caleb were TGIM. Let's go on. Let's take this. Let's do this. There we go. Now we got Caleb excited. What you don't do when you have a reforming society, you know, in Canada, if you have a snowblower, you are blessed. But it's like if I can liken the snowblower to your prayer life and your thing. And of course, please don't hear what I'm not saying. The Bible is clear. If there's sick amongst you, call for the elders. Pray for one another. So that all that good praying stuff. Do not abdicate your inheritance. Do not walk away and come and say, well, hello pastor, here's my snowblower. Look at it, isn't it nice? We're going to snowblow it today, but I want you to start it for me. We get out there, Canadians, start that thing, boom, 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 and take rid of, you can see I do this well, eh? Get rid of all the snow in the way. Yes, I'm taking kingdom. This is my path that I'm pathing down. Blow away, I know it's winter's past, hallelujah. Wind is fast. Blow your sidewalk. Blow your neighbor's sidewalk. Blow everybody's thing. Hello, neighbor. Kingdom of heaven advancing. Engaging people. How are you? Hello, how are you doing? That snow ice storm we had, that thing engaged people more than any time ever. Ever. Well, you know, I've got to be in, when I come to church, I've just got to have this ministry in the church. And no. How are you doing with your ministry where you're at? Joseph, one of the greatest. Joseph was never a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a church leader. He was in secular business. Joseph, sold into slavery, our shame. Joseph lived there, just getting better, rising to the top, comes along Mrs. Potiphar. Joseph says, flee, I'm out of here. She makes a story, he goes to jail. His skill set, Lord gave him, understand dreams. Tells the dream, the guy says, don't worry, Joe. When I'm out of here, I'll remember you. Whoop! Was it 2 years later? Oh, there's this guy in jail. I remember when the king now was having his nightmares. Oh, I remembered. Joe, oh, quickly shave him up, get him cleaned up, bring him up into the house. Rising to the top. Walking in his inheritance. Standing firm on the word of God. Not swayed left and right. No Mrs. Potiphar in his life. We don't need the Mrs. Potiphar's or the Mr. Potiphar's for that matter. Joseph, rising to the top, gets in there, tells the king's dream. King says, you in charge of everything now. You in charge of my house, you in charge of this. We know the rest of the story. Save the whole nation. A businessman. People in business, where is your mountain that God wants you to take? Where is God saying, this is the strategy I'm giving you, this is the place I'm giving you to walk? This is how you should walk your inheritance. We can go on. Daniel, same story with Daniel. Rising to the top. Put in charge of everything. Businessman. I know they called him prophet. New Testament. Priscilla and Aquila. Business people. We should be using our skill set and our gift set. Where's Natalie? Nat, can you come up please? We need to understand that we have kingdom purpose where we're at. We want you to prophesy. We want you to bring words of knowledge. We want you to pray for the sick when we come together on a Sunday. But this should not be the only place. You should do this in your workplace. This should do this in your home, in your neighborhood. This is walking in your inheritance. Revival starts in the heart of the individual. If you want to see revival come, then it must start in your heart. We want to see that, like the Caleb generation cry, now give me my hill country. Let's stand together. Thank you. We're not going to be done because Chris needs to come up and give some announcements. And so I just want you to where you are this morning. If anything of this is spoken to your heart, say, Father, I repent for trying to take something that doesn't belong to me. I ask you, God, that you would make it clear for me. Yeah. Father God, I want to have personal prosperity, body, soul, and spirit, health. I'm not talking about just money. I want to be generous in the kingdom. I see my workplace as my parish. I want to reform my society, my oikos, those that are around me, those that I come in touch with daily, Lord. Father, give me boldness to share the gospel. Lord, when I rush out, thank goodness it's Monday, with the sword of the word of your spirit, Lord God, ready for battle. God, I want to extend the kingdom of God in my sphere of influence, in my workplace, in my home, in my school, in my college, in the shops. Lord God, I want to be, not just talk about it, I want to be salt to those who need some flavor. I want to be a pillar of light to those that are in darkness, Lord God. I want to touch the hem of your garment, Lord God. I want to, Holy Spirit, would you empower me to walk in the inheritance that you have qualified me for. An inheritance that I didn't have to do anything for, God. A free gift from you, Lord God. I am so rich because of that. I am able, Lord, because you have made me able. Thank you for the gifts, the gift skill set, the abilities that you have given me, Lord, that I may be effective in the kingdom of heaven. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.